Outer achievement is called success, and inner achievement is called satisfaction. And both are very essential in this world. We have to have outer success. We have to have outer achievements. Spirituality does not teach us to give up everything and go to the forest. Yes, few people may have that kind of vairagya or detachment, but most of us who are householders, it is necessary for us to be successful and be the best we can be. That's what Bhagavan Krishna tells Arjuna, that you are a warrior and be the best warrior. Whatever job you have taken, do it to the best of your ability, but do it in a noble cause. And that's what we have to do. Our work has to be noble. And only when our work from pure materialism becomes noble, that's when karma becomes karma yoga, and that's when we get inner satisfaction. So far in the second chapter, we have seen that Bhagavan has told Arjuna that we are all that one consciousness, Atma, which is eternal. And to realize that, the path of karma yoga has been taught. And then he condemns blind rituals just done for selfish purpose. But he says ritualism is necessary to purify the mind. And with that pure mind, one has to do karma yoga. And then last 2 weeks, we talked about karmanyavadika raste ma phaleshu kadachan. So your duty is to act, but not with a particular fruit, but with the idea that it is the right thing to do. And let not your work lead you to inaction or laziness. So that is not the purpose. And even we find this, the Swamijis who come here from Chinmaya Mission, even though they have given up their family and they're wearing orange clothes, but they are constantly working. They are teaching, they are studying, they are researching, they are traveling. So work we all have to do. As long as this body is alive, as long as I have this body, I have to work. But the question is what work we should do. And so these last few verses have talked about karma yoga, work dedicated to the Lord, dedicated to the higher. Today's 2 verses will complete this topic of karma yoga, and then we'll move on to a new topic next week. So verse number 50 and 51, those of you who have the Bhagavad Gita book, it is in that, it's not in those papers. But if you have the book, you can follow with me. Verse number 50, chapter 2. Buddhi yukto jahati ha.
Buddhi yukto jahati
ha. Ubhe sukrita duskrite.
Ubhe sukrita duskrite.
Tasmat yogaya yujyasva.
Tasmat yogaya yujyasva.
Yoga karma sukaushalam. So buddhi yuktaha. Buddhi is intellect. So in this chart, I think for the new ones who are here, these three are my equipment: this body, mind and intellect, BMI. And with the body, I perceive the objects of the world. I see, hear, smell, taste and touch. With the mind, I feel the emotions. And with the intellect, I think the thoughts. And then V stands for vasanas or tendencies or habits which I have accumulated in this life and in previous lifetime. And Om above represents God's presence. So here Bhagavan is saying buddhi yuktaha. So one who is endowed with intellect, who uses his intellect, and we'll talk more about that. Jahati, he or she gives up, iha, here in this life itself. So spirituality is not for, oh, after birth, after my birth is over, after death, where will I go? What will I do? What will I achieve? No. The teaching of the Bhagavad Gita and the spiritual is for this life, for here, now, from today onwards, this knowledge we can start applying. So iha means here. So this person who is endowed with intellect, who is endowed with the right knowledge, jahati, give her, gives up, ubhe, both, sukrita, duskrite. good deeds and evil deeds. Oh, you mean he gives up good deeds and he gives up evil deeds? Then what does he do? Because in our life, we think only of two things. Either it's good or it is bad. But this person gives up both. Therefore, tasma, therefore Bhagavan says, yogaya yujyasva. For the yoga, for karma yoga, yujyasva. Involve yourself in karma yoga. Why? Yoga karmasu kaushalam. Yoga is dexterity. Kaushalam in karmasu, in action. So yoga is dexterity, efficiency, perfection in action is yoga. So let's spend some time talking about this. So buddhi yuktaha means one who is endowed with the intellect. Now we find here that a majority of us are taking care only of the body, possessing things, acquiring things, working for the body, and that includes me and my family and my, you know, near and dear ones, my firm, my company, all that comes in the body. And then mental, I must have some joy, I must have some fun in life, and that is all very good, but that is where a lot of people's activities stop. But they say, do all activities endowed with the intellect. Let the intellect be your guiding factor. And what is intellect? Intellect is right understanding connected with the Lord, with the scriptures. So right understanding in light of the scriptures. Some people say, well, you know, if you're reading the book of Communism by Karl Marx in Russia, you say, well, whatever Karl Marx says is the right understanding and let us practice. No, what the scriptures say, that understanding is called the right intellect and the right understanding. Now, when they say that this person goes beyond good and bad are both judgments of my mind. So in my mind, I have the idea, this is good, this is bad, this is right, this is wrong, this I like, this I don't like. So all the time we are caught in the pair of opposites. And what I think is good or bad for another person may not be. His or her thinking may be different. Like I may like a particular thing. In my opinion, this is good and that is bad. Or this person is good and that person is bad. For the other person, that person may be his best friend and this one. So our judgment of right and wrong is determined by our emotions, by our thing, just by our feelings. I don't like this person. I don't feel good about it. So a person who is working for the intellect or with the intellect, endowed with the intellect, goes beyond these pairs of opposites, likes and dislikes. This is good and this is bad. The person does what is the right thing to do and does not worry about what people are saying or thinking. And secondly, his own emotional fluctuations do not come. Because his goal is very clear. This is my goal in life. And once you know your goal, then and then alone, your actions will be correct. And that's why we said that the goal has to be twofold, outer success and inner satisfaction. So once I am doing the right thing, then it does not matter. My emotional fluctuations don't matter. It's not today I don't feel like getting up. No, I have promised to do something. I will do it. And if I keep doing things I like, then what it will do is create more vasanas, more desires. If I like something and I keep on doing it, or if I dislike something and I run away from it, and what in life we find, that things I like run away from me, and what I dislike repeatedly will come. And it always happens. What you don't like, that will show up. And the Lord in his mercy will keep us giving us the same lesson. He'll say, you don't like this? Okay, I'll give you more and more. The idea is not to punish us, but the idea is to for us to go beyond likes and dislikes and accept everything as the Lord. So that understanding, when it is clear, then that's how what we see in the lives of saints. They don't have particular likes or particular dislikes. They accept everybody as they are. And acceptance is very important. Even if a situation is not good or if a person is not good, once you accept the situation as it is, then you can solve the problem much better than trying to change it. And Bhagavan tells us that manliness, by manly, I don't mean male, but what I mean is the humanness is only due to the intellect. Because even animals have a body and they have a mind. They also have emotions. A dog, if you call him nicely or give him a bone, he will come. If you kick him, he will run away. Or if you shout at him. Even plants, they say that if plants are brought up in a at present music and loving atmosphere, they grow much better. They have done studies. And while plants that were blasted with rock music and, you know, hateful language, they actually don't grow. So even animals, plants, they all have a body. They all have emotions, the mind. It's the intellect that decides whether it's a human or a non-human. So the intellect is what distinguishes us from animals and plants. And that has to be used. It has to be utilized. Whatever knowledge we have got from the Bhagavad Gita is not only meant to be studied, but also to be applied. And Bhagavan says, yoga is dexterity in action. Efficiency is yoga. Now, in the previous verse, in the 48th verse, Bhagavan had said, samatvam yoga uchyate. Yoga is equanimity. So then people will say, Bhagavan, can you please make up your mind? Is yoga equanimity or is yoga mastery in action? Because the same word, just two verses later, we are getting a different definition. So like in a book of science, suppose the definition of, say, combustion, you know, is one particular, and then two paragraphs later it gives a different meaning, then we say that's not right. But here, Swami Chinmayananda in his commentary, he says that the reason Bhagavan gives a slightly different meaning, because when we read the word samatvam yoga uchyate, yoga is equanimity, then we think this person is useless. He just sits there, you know, good things happening, bad things happening. Does not change like a stone. That's not what it is. What Bhagavan is telling us, that a person who is equanimous does not become a stone and still, but continues to work efficiently. And that is very important. While working, when there are adverse situations coming, the person does not get affected. And if things are going well, he does not get overjoyed, but he continues to do his work. Now, dexterity is sometimes translated as mastery, and people misunderstand. Because our idea of mastery is, you know, the work that should be done in 10 minutes, you take an hour, you slowly, methodically do it. If you're cutting okra, you cut every piece exactly the same. Now, that is not mastery. Or like, if that would be the case, then a person who makes viruses, how efficiently he does that, right? When he makes viruses, he spreads it all over the world and all the world's computers, half of them could go down. That is also dexterity in action. So is that what Bhagavan is telling us, that that's also efficiency, right? A person who does that, or a person who robs a bank, how much planning they have to do, they have to stay up late at night and watch the guards and watch the alarm system and that. So dexterity in action does not only mean mastery at a physical level, but mastery with inner depth. So when I am working in the world, I am connected with the Lord within, because Om, or the Lord, is within every one of us. And Krishna tells us that when you start working in the world, keeping me in mind and working for a higher cause unselfishly, then I am with you. I work with you. And such a person connects with the depth within, and his actions become yoga, his actions. And such a person, when the Lord is working through him, then nothing can stop him. And that's what we find with these Mahatmas. Look at the life of Shankaracharyaji. You know, within one short life of 32 years, how much he accomplished all over the country, walking on foot, how much he accomplished. Jesus had a few followers, but after he left, now there are billions of Christians. Buddha maybe had 100 or 200 followers. Why? Because the Lord is working through them. Even if their body is not here, Buddhism has spread all over the world. Swami Chinmayanandaji, even though after he left his body in 1993, Chinmaya mission has tripled since he left. People thought that after he goes, Chinmaya mission will fall apart. So these great Mahatmas, when they work, the Lord works through them, and that's why they channel their deeper resources from within, they work. And then such a person goes beyond bondage. And what is bondage? Bondage is vasanas. Because if I have a particular desire, a particular vasana for acquiring something or possessing something, and if I get it, then I want more and more. I become more and more greedy. If I don't get it, my desire even increases. So the more I desire, the more I strengthen the vasanas, the more I get bound. So this bondage of possessions becomes so powerful, then that's all my mind is, I have to have it. Or something I dislike. In fact, it's interesting, the person you dislike, you think about a lot more than the persons you like. If I don't like somebody, all the time my mind is there. That's why Bhagavan says, do not have all these likes and dislikes. Even if that person is doing something wrong, Lord, you take care of him. You are the giver of karma. So I, in my mind, should not have any hatred, should not have any liking or dislike, because the more I do, the more I get bound, the more I get caught, the more I get influenced by circumstances. And that's what they say. Use your intellect and do the right thing, and ultimately the Lord is the one who is going to give me the result. So leave the results in his hand. And such a person goes beyond punya and papa. Punya is merit and papa is sin. So merits and sin, both we go beyond. So what do you mean? He does not do good or bad things. See, papa and punya are all again judged by my vasanas and by mind. So in my opinion, say something may be a sin. For example, for a vegetarian, eating meat is a sin. But for a person who grew up from childhood, for him, eating meat is normal, just to give an example. So again, punya and papa depend on circumstances, depend on, you know, which family you belong to, which environment you grow up in. And so to judge people just because that person is doing what my religion says not to do it, and that person is doing, then to judge this person as a sinner, and that again is, and then when we do punya, a lot of people do punya, do good deeds. Why? So that I'll go to heaven afterwards. If we do some rituals or help somebody, so I will get good deeds. I will get, you know, my karmas will increase. So again, then you are doing good or bad actions based on some arbitrary standard or with the idea that I will go to heaven. So a person who is truly evolved says, I'll do the right thing. For him or her, even heaven in our scriptures has been put down as a temporary place where you go enjoy and then you continue your journey. So he says, do your duty. Do not worry about what the world says. Punya and papa are meant for emotional level, at the emotional level. But when you are doing the right thing, you go beyond both. Neither one of those is important, just the right action is important. There is a very beautiful example I was reading in one of the commentaries. Say you go to Las Vegas and you come back to your room at night after dinner, and as you are coming back, the hotel clerk in the desk will ask you, oh, so how much did you win? His idea is not how much you win. Actually, he wants to say, how much did you lose? Because 90% of the people lose in Las Vegas. So how much did you win? So you say, I didn't play. You didn't play? You came to Las Vegas and you didn't play. You didn't even go to the casinos? No, I just went to have dinner and came back. Why did you come to Vegas? He said, I came because there was a conference. I attended the conference all day. I was supposed to give a talk in the afternoon. In the seminar, I gave it. I'm going to sleep. Tomorrow morning is my flight out. He said, then you came to Las Vegas and you didn't play? Yes, I came for a particular purpose, for a conference. So similarly, in this world, we have come for a particular purpose. And that purpose, as we have talked many times, is to serve the world and to realize God. So when I come with this particular purpose, I should not get myself sidetracked. Just as this person who has come to give a talk does not get involved in what's happening in the casinos and what either. That's let whoever wants to enjoy, let him or her do it. But my goal is to give a talk and leave. So similarly, I am on this earth, on this world, on this earth for a particular purpose. And let me not get sidetracked, because the more I get here and there, the more I will lose my goal of service and self-realization. So use the intellect, because when you get involved with the mind, then the mind will take you. That's why the mind is called Samshayatmika Buddhi and the intellect is called Nishchayatmika Buddhi. Samshayatmika means mind does not know what should I do, what should I not do. And then when we are under the influence of the mind, then we get joy and sorrow, then we get worries, then we get problems, then we get, you know, start thinking what's happening, what so-and-so doing, what's... When my goal is clear, then such a person does not get even involved with the senses, because the senses is the one that take my mind outside. I see something, I want it, I hear something, I want... Somebody, my neighbor, I hear his car going by, zzz, then I say, I must also get this car. Or he or he's playing some new music or some stereo or new phone. Or so the senses are what take us outwards. Whether what I see, hear, smell, taste, touch, I want this, I want to eat this. So we are so caught up in our senses, you know, eating this, possessing this, wanting this. So they say, eat what is healthy, not what you, I mean, once in a while it's okay, but if we are constantly just eating for our taste, what the mind enjoys, then our health will also suffer. So constantly indulging the mind in doing what is fun is wrong. So use your intellect, do the right thing, and such a person goes beyond good and bad, or goes beyond all vasanas. And they say, do not miss this opportunity. You have this wonderful opportunity. You have a human intellect. You have this healthy body. You're living in the United States, which is a, you know, country full of opportunities. And use this opportunity to for self-improvement and for improving society. Do not waste this human birth, because you may not. They say we after 84 lakhs, 8.4 million births, 84 lakh yoni, I've got a human body. So do not miss this opportunity. Talking about missed opportunity, there was this bus filled with men and they were going on a trip, and it was night and raining, and the bus slipped off the road and fell in the ditch, and they all died. So all the men were dead. So the women were all crying, obviously the wives, for a week, 2 weeks. And then, you know, they stopped crying. What can you do? Husband is gone. But one woman kept on crying 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 2 months. She's still crying. So they say, what happened? You missed your, are you missing your husband this much? She's saying, no, he missed the bus. So don't miss this beautiful opportunity you have to utilize your body, utilize your intellect. Of course, we have to utilize our heart for love. Our heart is given to us to love, for love, compassion, for sharing, for kindness, not for anger, not for hatred, not for jealousy. And the body has been given to us to serve. So with the body I serve, do the karma yoga. And the very important thing is no ego, no I and my. And we'll talk about that in the next verse, about how ego can arise. So this is the essence of this, that one who uses the intellect goes beyond good and bad. And that's why Bhagwan says, do karma yoga. Yoga is yuj, comes from yuj, means united. So united with the Lord, and doing the work for service, do it, but do it efficiently. He's not saying that you, because what did Arjuna want? Arjuna wanted to give up his duty. He had a duty to fight against evil. The wrong people were standing. And what happened to him? He saw his uncle, he saw his grandfather, he saw his teacher, he saw his cousins. So what happened? By seeing through his eyes, his mind became emotional. Not only became emotional, he became a total wreck, where he was, he said, my hands are shivering, I am sweating, and my mouth is dry, and my limbs are shaking, and the Gandiv is falling from my, and he sat down on the chariot, total wreck. And that's what the Gita treatment is, when we have a situation where we don't know what to do. And he said exactly to Bhagwan, he says, you please guide me, shishyasteham shadi mam tvam prapannam. I am surrendered to you, O Lord, I am your disciple. You please advise me what to do. And that's what Bhagwan did not change the situation. He did not say, by magic, I'll make all the Kauravas disappear and or create peace. He said, the situation will remain the same, but you have to change your mind. And for that, use the wisdom. You know, because Arjuna had studied the scriptures, he had studied Upanishads, because Bhishma Pitama used to make sure that the Kauravas, I mean the Kauravas and the Pandavas got always the best teachers who came and the best education, not only in warfare, but also the best education as far as spirituality, what they should do. So Bhagwan is telling him, you have this right knowledge, but at this moment, the intellect has deserted you. Your body is falling apart because you are giving in to your mind. So do not let your mind run, but decide what is right and do it with that attitude. So that is the essence of this beautiful verse. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Shanti Shanti Shantihi, Harihi Om, Shri Gurubhyo Namah, Harihi Om.